Hey, Good Fox here. Today we got episode number 100 of the Mutt Men podcast. Texas, how does that feel?
It's exciting. 100 episodes. I've been like half these things, but like you've been on every single one of them. So how do you feel about it?
I don't know. I guess I don't have any nostalgia at the moment, but it feels good to keep going. I hope to get to, 200 in, what is that, a couple years from now. But Texas, any text messages? We got a very important guest. Anything, anything you want to say before we get to it?
No, nothing right now. We've got a guest on that I think can provide more information than I can. So we're going to go ahead and bypass the story this week.
All right. Maybe we'll hit it at the end because we gotta get him off here. We kept him late at work tonight. Unfortunately, he is sacrificing his time at home for us. Welcome, Clint Oldenburg. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you guys?
I'm doing wonderful. Yeah. So could you give us a brief history of you? Basically, start with the day you're born and give us a day-by-day blow until now.
The day I was born. Okay. I grew up.
I'm just kidding. Yeah, if, exactly. If you want to give us like, your history with the NFL, with Madden, how long you've been playing and so on and so forth, how long you've been working on it?
Sure. I started playing Madden really on the Sega Genesis days. It was my favorite game of all time, still is to this day. Had a lot of epic battles with my brother back in the day where we threw controllers at each other and whatnot. You know, everyone goes through that. Went to college at Colorado State. Was fortunate enough to get drafted into the NFL in 2007. Played 5 years as a journeyman offensive line. Didn't have a great career, wasn't a great player, but overachieved every you know, step that I could. And then at the conclusion of my career, I got on as an intern here at Electronic Arts and never left. I've been on gameplay design for 6 years now, and now I'm the gameplay lead.
Wow, that's awesome. Like, I feel like you're too humble when you said you're not a very good player. You're an NFL lineman lasting that long, that's longer than the average career length for an NFLer. So that's amazing to me. But that's cool. So you know the NFL and the game in and out. You said something talking about knowing it in and out, said something before the podcast that I found very interesting. Basically, I asked you about traits, and I've got a lot of questions, and a lot of people have questions on traits and stats, you know, with regards to height, weight, and everything. Can you basically go through, like, there's a little bit of misconception out there with regards to knowledge on stats and traits and stuff.
Yeah, what I was telling you is the number one reason you guys feel like you're in the dark is because you give us way too much credit. From our end, we just want to make sure that it's accurate. We don't want to put any information out that's inaccurate because, you know, we care about our players. We want to make sure the information is right. And so we're like any other business, any other team. We have a lot of turnover, guys coming in and out every year. And there's, you know, code that's old. There's things that worked one way at a time, and now they work a different way. And you just have to go in and dig into the code and research what everything's doing. And so, you know, I could probably give you a brief and light overview of a few ratings and what they do, but I definitely wouldn't be able to tell you everything that you want to know without really digging in and finding this stuff. And so that's the number one reason that's a thing right now.
Yeah, I think okay. So do we want to go stat by stat? We have a lot of questions for you in a little bit of time. How about how much do traits? I think traits are, because I know a lot of what the stats do. Traits, how do they play in? Like, there's some of them that are CPU controlled versus some of them that are human controlled, and that play into Mutt Online games. Like, a few years ago, I think there was an interview, and Mutt devs didn't even know traits were in the game. So now we know they are. But basically, let me go through a couple players here. Like, what does D-line swim move, spin move, bull rush do?
So its intent is just to make them choose that version of the move more. Okay. It's an animation play. It's a behavior play. So those traits, they were designed and implemented before I got to EA, but I learned about them through talking to experienced folks, and they were just supposed to change behavior for the most part, give you, you know, different looking animations and kind of differentiate how players acted on the field.
So does it matter if, like, say you have a 99 finesse move, 99 power move, if they have the traits or not, or are they going to get those animations regardless?
I'm going to say in terms of functional outcome, I'm going to say no, it does not matter. Now, one of the animations may be slightly faster by a couple frames. I haven't looked into it that deep. If you're looking for that kind of advantage, that may exist. But outcome-wise, I'd say no.
Okay. All right. That's interesting. So they're just kind of almost visual, not so much what you're going to see on the field, any production.
Right. The actual ratings, the finesse move and power move, is what determines if he's going to win or lose, not the trait.
That's awesome to hear, because now that kind of takes that out of the mind for me when I'm evaluating players. How about strips ball? Does that do anything for guys?
Yes, it does. So that determines which AI-controlled players are more likely to go for a strip and not go for a strip.
Okay, so same thing with big hitter. Like, you can user input them for anybody, and it doesn't change their outcomes.
Correct.
Okay, just AI. And then high motor, what does high motor do?
High motor, so that's one of those things that over the years has been changed a million times. And the last time that I was working in that area, it determined when a player would give up at the end of the play, and also if he would elect to try to get a late hit on the pile. Late hit, not a penalty late hit, but as the guy's going down, try to hit him or not.
Okay, just trying to knock him back so he doesn't get those extra yards. Okay. Does throw tight spiral do anything for like distance or speed of a throw?
It does, but it's trivial.
Okay, so like less than a yard on like a 60-yard pass?
Yeah, it's nothing. Again, it's nothing that's going to dictate a bunch of outcomes over the course of a game.
Okay, interesting. Texas, I hope you're okay with me going through the traits here. And okay.
You got mad at me last time for not asking a lot of questions, but
after the traits, we'll get to you.
Yeah.
The thing to point out is these traits, they were developed in what, Madden 10, Madden 11?
Yeah, that sounds right. Yeah.
So they've been in for a long time, and there's a number of, you know, I got in 6 years ago. We've had designers here for 13 years. We've had designers here for 2 years, and everyone puts in a feature. They may or may not make a consideration for the traits. And so there's, you know, all kinds of new behaviors going on top of it. And that's what I mean when I say we just want the information to be accurate before we go and put out a big chunk of text for you all to read and dig into.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. So a couple more for QBs. QB style pocket versus scrambling versus balanced, does that have anything to do with like read options?
No. I take that back. Actually, yes, it does. So they will, the defenders will look at that trait when determining whether to sit on the quarterback or chase the running back.
Okay. That's kind of what we as a community figured out. Just want to get confirmation on that. Senses pressure, does that do anything with regards to QB accuracy under pressure?
No.
Really? So what does senses pressure do?
So senses pressure has to do, well, if you're talking about the front end trait, correct? Not any of the ones in Ultimate Team.
Wait, what's the difference?
The chemistries, I mean, the chemistry.
Oh,
abilities.
No. We'll get to, Texas is going to get to abilities. This is just the traits on the player themselves, like average, ideal. What's the other one? Paranoid. Those traits. Do those do anything? Oblivious.
Yeah, they determine when a player will decide to scramble. Now, again, this for AI players, and if they will decide to throw the ball away, scramble, or throw the ball to a receiver, try to force it.
Oh, so it's only for CPU quarterbacks, like when you're playing against the like in the solos or franchise?
To my knowledge, yes. And again, I say to my knowledge.
Okay, fair enough. Because some people think like Mike Vick with his trash traits is more inaccurate under pressure because of that senses pressure trait. So you're saying it's a maybe for that?
Yeah, that's a maybe. I would have to dig in to verify that. And I know that sounds crazy, but it is what it is.
Yeah. But, I mean, game development's hard. How many, if you can say, I don't know if you can, how many like millions of lines of code is Madden?
It's up there. There's more lines of code than you, I, and Tex will ever have dollars in our lifetime.
Dang. That's a few. Let's see. Throws ball away, I don't think that's a CPU trait. Forces passes, I think it's a CPU trait. Clutch, and I think that's just like at the end of the fourth quarter, right?
Yeah, pretty much. Just, you know, those comeback drives, that basically the Elway trait.
Okay, and then here's a big controversy in the community is the penalty on normal versus, what is it, undisciplined versus disciplined. Does that help people not jump off sides of the D-line?
It does. It does indeed. That was one that I actually worked on directly.
Okay. Does that affect the gameplay at all in any other player in like Mutt or CFM? I'm guessing it's different, right?
It's, well, they're tuned independently on the different game styles. But we use those for all penalties, all, I guess, non-user facing penalties. So like, if you just want to run and jump off sides, it has no issue on that. But yeah, any penalty in the game, takes those into account.
Okay. So who was responsible for making D linemen jump on balanced pass rush?
So I take it you guys don't like that.
Yeah, in competitive mode, it's the worst. I was gonna say I wanna get their address so I can send them glitter through the mail.
Well, everything we do here, good, bad, and different, is team wide. There's not a single point of blame. We take everything as a team.
That's an NFL answer if I ever heard one. That's coach speak right there.
But why don't you guys, while you're on here, why don't you just tell me what you guys would rather see with that coach adjustment?
So in simulation mode. That's something that you have to ask the CFM community. I think they're fine with players jumping offside once in a while because if they're, like, tired, it's more mental for them. On the competitive side, I think the only time you should jump offsides is on aggressive. But on balanced or conservative, you shouldn't jump offside. I don't think conservative versus aggressive pass rush. And text, let me know if you disagree. Conservative should be better against the run. Aggressive should be better against the pass. There should be, like, modifiers for it somehow, in my mind, instead of what it currently is, where conservative is useless.
Well, conservative actually is there to help versus screens, draws, and scrambling quarterbacks.
Yeah, but screens and draws are – I get draws, actually. That's not a bad point.
So that's kind of, I didn't know that either. I'm going to try that out and see because draw play is the most popular run play outside of the in shotgun this year as opposed to, like, the whammy stuff. So I might have to check that out. A lot of game playing it ends, but if the person's throwing the ball down the field, then – I don't know if conservative is not going to be a viable option consistently to prevent him from doing that.
Yeah, and it's a good opportunity to share. And I get beat up on Twitter about this take quite often, which is fine. But what the intent of that feature was to be situational. It wasn't intended for you to just click it on and leave it for the whole game. It was, hey, I got a big third down. I'm going to just flip this aggressive adjustment on because I want my guys to get a good get off because I know it's a passing down. And then the next play, all right, it's either fourth down or it's first down, whatever it is. Then I'm going to go back to balanced. And then, hey, this guy's scrambling a little bit. I better go to conservative, and those guys will, get off the blocks easier versus scrambling quarterback or whatnot. It was meant to be situational and not necessarily game wide.
Oh, interesting. Texas, what do you thought?
Like in real life, coaching adjustment, you don't if you're coaching a team, you don't just have your pass rushers out there all day. You bring them in situations to dominate. So, whereas with Madden, it's kind of hard to do that because when something's working consistently, people are going to go away from it. And so that's just kind of the difference between what the intent was, what people found that they could do the entire game. So I got some, I guess while we're on this, you got any more questions, Gutfox, or can I?
No, go ahead. Take it away, Texas.
To like some thoughts. So my guess is we're going to be seeing this in Madden 19 coaching adjustment just a tweak. You probably can't answer this, but is there any way we'll see, like, more pros and cons on each side? So, like, for example, with conservative carry this year was super cheesy because nobody fumbled the ball, no matter what it was. But you also still could perform tier one ball carrier moves. So, like, let's say Madden 19, if you're on conservative ball carry, wouldn't it make more sense for the ball carrier to go down one or two tiers in the ball carrier aspect move? So juke move is not as good as it normally would be. Same thing with spin move, same thing with all the other stuff to balance it out compared to what aggressive would be, which just makes, let's say, lesser halfbacks into beasts if you switch that adjustment on.
Yeah, this is all pretty common feedback on the coach adjustments theme, and we're listening to what everyone has to say, both from the franchise players and the competitive players. It's a little too early for me to say definitively what direction needs to be taken, but we're definitely taking the feedback and seeing what action we can take.
Yeah, let us know in the comments what you guys think on coaching adjustments going forward, and then we'll talk about that. Texas, any more on that?
Yeah, if you're going to go to that, I like the coaching adjustments. I don't want to see them out of the game. I know some competitive players put their list together this weekend talking about what we want to see out of the game next year or what we want to see into the game. I know a lot of them had take coaching adjustments out of the game. I think they'll be fine as long as there's just a happy balance where balance is fine, but if you want to use the aggressive or conservative features, there's a lot more stiffer bonuses for using that, so that way you're not kind of having people have it on the entire time.
Yeah, and this is a great opportunity to let you guys know that it's always beneficial for us when you guys give us feedback to tell us how you want something to be rather than, hey, I don't like this thing or this is terrible. Instead, say, you could make this better by, or this is what I would rather see here. That's invaluable feedback. So what you guys just did was really good.
Yeah. Don't cuss them out. That doesn't help anybody.
No, you'll catch a block that way. Yeah. And on that kind of, it did feel like Texas said it went from useless to overpowered and back during the year. Like right now, like Strip's ball aggressive is absolutely useless because you're just going to get a face mask every play. So it does feel like I agree going into 19 that more balance on them is kind of the key to keeping them in the game. But like competitive versus Mutt, is there any way for you guys, like you guys made three different game modes this year. This might be asking a lot. But is there a way to make like a fourth one for salary cap or for Mutt specifically, one or the other? That way, like competitive is on salary cap, maybe Mutt mode is on Mutt. So that way, kind of the salary cap guys can get what they want. They get the no previous play, the no coach adjustments, the lower the RNG and stuff. And whereas the Mutt, we can have more of, I guess, for lack of a better word, casual or more, I don't want to say realistic, but more Mutt experience.
I don't know. It's something that we talked about. Even when we first implemented the three styles, there was a lot of talk about maybe needing a fourth. Again, the difficult thing is even with the three styles, it puts a lot of stress on, you know, instead of the testing matrix for one style, you now went to 12 when you put in the difficulty levels with it. And then to add another one, you just amp the testing matrix even higher. That's an internal problem. That's nothing that you guys need to worry about. But it is something that we've talked about. It's just a matter of making sure that all three or all four or five or a million, however many that we ever come up with, would reach you guys in the highest possible quality.
Yeah, it should be a bit easier this year for workload since you don't have to carry NBA Live on your guys' back, right?
One team, my man, one team.
Hey, so I got a question. How often do you guys like adjust tuners for Madden and don't tell us, like in patches? Like the game, sometimes people say, hey, the game feels different now. Do you guys do like tuner adjustment behind the scenes that we don't necessarily see in patches?
No. In fact, this year, especially this year, even going back to last year, everything that was in every patch was included in the patch notes. We made sure that we were extremely transparent with everything that was going out in a title update. It's actually not a patch. It's a title update. That's a mistake by me.
Yeah.
So everything that was ever changed was in those notes, if you guys read them. And this year specifically, we never did a tuner solely. Every tuner we put out was in a title update.
Okay. So you've never slipped in a little something for yourself into like a patch, kind of like what's that guy in Westworld? The old guy. God, I can't remember his name. Anthony Hopkins slipped something into a patch once, an update. You haven't done that, Clint?
No, I haven't done that. Good question.
Just thought I'd ask before the AI takes over.
Yeah, gotcha.
Texas, you got anything?
Back to the simulation mode. The mode style. So, simulation mode. I just want to know because like it feels like that mode is not where y'all would like it to be. Just because whenever I'm playing that mode in solo challenges, it doesn't hit what the objective says. So I'm looking at what the blog post that y'all posted on what the modes were. And so one of the features simulation mode was selling was players with elite ratings would be more successful than players with lesser ratings. And those, then when you get into solo challenges for Madden Ultimate Team, your 90-something overall team or higher overall team cannot beat gold players. So is that because of the sliders or is that just something that y'all got to work on going forward?
Well, it could be the difficulty level. I know those solo challenges jump around on difficulty level quite a bit. So that has quite a bit of an impact if you've ever switched from pro to all pro to all Madden. You know how that goes. But what that blog was alluding to is that over the course of time, a good player is going to have a much higher chance of success than a player whose ratings are not as high as his. And really what that was speaking to was, you know, the randomness, for lack of a better term. So, yeah, Antonio Brown, he can drop, you know, one pass or two passes out of 100. But out of 100, he's still going to catch 90 of them, where the other guy who, you know, let's say he's a 75-rated guy, he might drop 25 or 30 out of that 100. So looking at it from a more top-down view, good players will be successful much more than bad players in that mode.
Okay. Texas, anything else? We move on.
Move on.
Okay. Hey, so why are compressed sets much better in Madden than spread sets? Bunch has been the best formation in the game for 3 years now.
There's really about three parts to that in my mind. So the first thing, obviously, there's no secret. It's some of the routes, you know, the shorter C routes and the post routes out of the compressed set. Just get the guys open quicker. They can make their cut moves a little sooner on those short routes, and that's something that we got to tune to improve. On the coverage side, in, you know, looking at a realistic football, you know, concepts and coverages, those compressed sets have specific coverage rules that teams need to follow to be able to cover those successfully. And we need to keep going further and further and further each year to get those rules in place, get that AI in place, so that we can continue to grow, you know, our AI in our game. And then lastly, something that comes up quite often is, you know, you get those wide receivers in the compressed sets, but they're still, they have outside leverage on the defensive box. And so they're just really down blocking and sealing the edge. And that really opens up the run game out of them. So you have a lot of options out of those formations. And we just got to get better at furthering our defensive reactions to all of that stuff.
I got you. Are there certain concepts that you guys see in the real game that you don't think will work in Madden, like, you know, pick plays near the goal line or run pass options?
No, I think what we see more often is we see concepts in the NFL that will work too well in Madden. A great example of this is in the Super Bowl. They threw that pass to Nick Foles for a touchdown. I got 100 tweets saying, well, how come I can't do that in Madden? And instantly I said, well, that's because you'd run it every single play.
So that's an interesting point. Like, how much of the responsibility is on you guys for that online meta and people spamming plays? Would you say it's your guys' fault or the player's fault for only a handful of plays being spammed each game?
Oh, it's ours, no doubt. There's absolutely nothing in a video game that should be blamed on the player. You guys play the game to the best of your ability, and you go out and find what works, and you want to win. So you use what you can to win. That's on us, and that's part of our job as professionals. And you know, it's a growth. It's a growing thing. You know, we've come a long way in the 6 years I've been here, and I hope to be here another six or another 16. And every year we're going to grow and get better and better and better.
So it coming back to the point about the QB throwback pass, how much, I mean, that's something that can be stopped though, right? Like, how much you guys putting, like you said, you're trying to implement rules to stop this stuff. But I mean, like, there's nothing in football that's unstoppable in the NFL, right? So it's just a matter of time before you get it all under your umbrella. Or do you think you're going to have to keep doing this over and over? Or is there an end goal in sight?
There's a number of different answers to that. You know, as technology keeps growing, there's going to be all kinds of new opportunities to further artificial intelligence, which is one of the things I'm most passionate about is developing AI. And that was my first job here, was building the blocking AI. And I know that you guys like to point it out when that fails, and that's fine. But it's really come a long way, knowing where it started and where it's at. And coverage is no different. It's come a long way. I mean, look at all the different zones and match principles we have in the game. If you'd have told me that this stuff would be in Madden 10 years ago, I'd have been like, nah, that's not possible. You know, as technology gets better and people get better, and possibilities are really endless of where we could take it.
Tex, I know you have a question on awareness with offensive linemen.
Yes. So I feel like this year is probably one of the biggest steps y'all took towards making awareness mean something. I know in the past I've been on the bandwagon, awareness has not done anything, but I know with the linemen and I being able to ID certain blitzes without you having to do it yourself has been one of the things y'all been working on. So I've been wondering with awareness, since it's working on linemen, or so I haven't really tested it yet, but we'll get to that point down the line, but will we see more of a shift on like defensiveness for like cornerbacks and middle linebackers, and seeing awareness actually play a factor on that side of the ball?
Well, it does actually play a factor now. It's used as awareness is used as a modifier in a number of formulas. It's part of a ton. But I think to answer your question directly, again, you're basically looking for players who get smarter over the course of a game.
Well, no,
is that correct?
No, I'm looking for just the rating to, like, so if a guy has 95 awareness, that the play, like, play in with his zone, so that way, like, because it just seems like a waste that, like, when people did the testing, when Chaos did his testing for the zone coverage, awareness had no impact on it. It was just zone. because I just want to see like awareness play in with man or with zone, so that way you can kind of play those routes, I guess, better depending on, or play those, play that certain style defense better, or guard against certain routes better if you have a high awareness.
Oh, I gotcha. Okay. Yeah. Sorry, I misunderstood the question. Yeah, that's a fine line to walk, and you know, do we definitely want to add more depth like that? Exactly what you're saying. The hard part, the thing that we got to figure out with stuff like that, is the competitive guys want everything that's predictable. They want, hey, when I play this zone, this is the way he plays the zone. No matter what, I know what's going to happen, so you can have an impact on the outcome. And then the more depth you add on the rating side and say, well, now there's going to be some variation because this guy's awareness rating is X or this guy's agility rating is Y. Now you don't really know what to expect unless you're testing multiple types of players across multiple different games on all those zones. So that's another thing that is on our minds.
Yeah, that's a struggle to deal with. Like, how much do you think competitive gaming should drive the innovation and changes in Madden?
I think competitive gaming should drive the innovation, but I think all of our gamers should drive the innovation. I mean, the utopia of Madden is building one game that everyone loves to play, right? Mm-hmm. So I don't think competitive gamers should have any more emphasis than simulation gamers or arcade gamers. I think we're all one big Madden family. But, you know, the competitive guys like what they like, and the simulation guys like what they like, and that's why we have the differing play styles.
Okay, so that makes sense. So is your ideal going forward in the competitive mode to eliminate as much RNG as possible?
Yeah, I would say that that's a focus. I will also say I don't think that it's possible to get rid of all of it. But what's valuable is identifying the areas that you can and then attacking those in ways that bring depth and agency to the players. So that's, you know, that's really the essence of what we as designers do here, is figuring out, okay, this is an area of opportunity. How can I make it better? And then what do the players think of it? And bringing that all together so that, you know, everyone's happy with the end product.
I got you. So Rex said in our podcast that thresholds were taken from feedback from the competitive guys to make the game less RNG based. Texas, did you have a question on thresholds? I forgot.
On thresholds?
Yeah, okay. I don't think so. I'll finish it. So thresholds, was that a good idea? Is that something you guys are? I know you can't comment on what's coming in 19, but was that something that worked in 18, or you feel could have been done differently and not have thresholds?
I think it was a good idea. I think there could have been a lot of ways to improve it, given, you know, time and resources. I think overall, looking at it from a higher view, I think it was pretty successful. The biggest part of the meta this year in terms of thresholds was the 91 zone. I wish that we could get more granularity in there. I wish, you know, there was a bit more of a difference between a 90 and 91 and a 92. And I'm about to say a bad word for you guys. I actually crave a little bit more variance there, rather than going up against the four Avengers. You know, they're all kind of superpowered.
Yeah, it does feel like they do warp at times, and they, you got like Nightcrawler out there at points getting to the ball.
I would really like more variance between each player, because I crave looking for mismatches more. And, you know, you got a 91 on this side and a 97 on the other side. I want to attack the 91 and at least figure out if he has a weakness. I want to use that against him. And you know, hopefully this shows that, you know, we're just as critical, if not more so, about what goes on in our game than you guys are. We're watching and playing just as much as you guys. We see all the same stuff you see, and we want to take the opportunities as they come to improve everything, every part of the game. We never think that it's perfect.
So you talk about attacking weaknesses in players. Is that something that's even possible in the passing game with like deep shots or anything like that?
Yeah, to a certain level it's possible. I mean, obviously speed is there.
Yeah. But that seems like it's the only thing that you could possibly attack on a guy. You could streak a guy if you got plus 10 speed on him.
Yeah, there's that. Again, I'm about to say another bad word, but with the aggressive catching, hopefully you can use some height and some spec catch to your advantage there. Now, I know that we've tuned that down quite a bit, so that hasn't been quite as overbearing as it was in 16. But again, another great opportunity to add that variance to each player.
Yeah, you keep asking, you keep acting like we're going to judge you here. This is a judgment-free zone. We're fine talking about aggressive catching with granularity. I think actually, you know, me and Tex aren't competitive players, but I think a lot of competitive players are for the granularity more on the players. I don't know if the thresholds worked quite as well, in my opinion, as we hope they would, because they basically make all the cards play the same after a certain level. So now what's the point besides for speed upgrading card? So it doesn't make it like, yeah, these models look like the guys on the field, like, but what's the difference between a lot of them, the way they play? Basically a couple stat points, but then they essentially do the same thing on the field at once. But I don't know, that's kind of my thing. Texas, anything?
Yeah, I was gonna say, because I don't think anybody here is really like for the threshold, which is more, or just the way they're kind of set right now. I think we all want to see them go up in committal where
Nobody wanted to see them go up. We just wanted to see, like,
maybe people wanted to see them.
You may have.
I mean, I just want to be able to, like, use different players instead of my team being, like, the best team possible since, like, October. But
yeah, we hear that. We understand that, and we're aware of that. And I think you guys have been very loud and clear on your thoughts on that. And you know, we're definitely something on the top of the list.
Okay. Hey, I'm sorry to retread this, but I got a question here. Do you guys tune the game based on analytics for, like, overused plays or plays that gain too many yards based on your stats, like maybe just from, like, top 100 players or competitive players? Or do you basically tune your game for plays based on feedback from the players only?
Both. We do both. So we have a pretty expansive set of biometrics that gives us all the data that we could ever want on what's going on in our game, yards per play, yards per carry, all of that stuff, everything that you could look at. But we also very much not only listen to our players, but try to watch our players play in tournaments on Twitch, you know, anywhere we can tune in and watch, and try to just keep a pulse on what's going on and try to keep the game as balanced as possible.
So what would you say is an unacceptable amount of yards per play for a run play? Like, say somebody can get over 5 yards a run every time, or can average 6 yards a run.
So our target goal across all running plays is about 4, 4.5. That's what we want. Obviously, some go over occasionally, but you'd be surprised when you look at the numbers. Some are not as high as you may believe.
Well, and the thing is, like, I think it's hard to kind of tune out the, let's say, less skillful players from the better ones, isn't it?
It is a bit, but we can still we still have telemetry that gives us some of that data.
So, like, if you're able to identify just the players in All Man One or just the players that finish top 100 in Weekend League and see what their yards per play average is, that would be able to help you tune the game. Or is that what you do, or do you kind of, like, more do it based on overall?
Yeah, like I said, there's not really one way. Every case is different. I feel like with all the information now, especially in the age of social media, we get the information pretty quickly. I mean, it takes 3, 4, 5 tweets to me or Rex about the same topic, and we're going to be looking at that day and figure out what's going on.
Okay, so everybody out there, if you want to have them look at something, just spam their Twitter account. Make 3 fake ones, and you'll get your wish, right?
Yeah.
Texas, any questions?
No.
Nah. Well, sorry. Next question. Like, abilities or anything?
Okay. I was like, any questions on that? I don't have any questions on the data, other than because whatever. I'm gonna get to that. We got to get to this next one. So back to, I don't know how much you have impact over, like, let's say red chems when it comes to actually, like, for mutt. I think they kind of determine that themselves. But with the red chems, such as, like, secure tackler, secure protector, like, how come secure protector doesn't stop aggressive pass rushers?
So I think there's a big misconception about how secure protector is supposed to work. And that's not to say you guys can't provide feedback about how you want it to work, but secure protector Its primary function is to increase the wait time a defensive rusher has to wait until he can play his first shed move. So let's take Joey Bosa. Let's say his base time is about a half a second before he can attempt his first move. That doesn't mean before he can win. It's before he can attempt. So a secure protector is going to extend that time to a second and a half, 2 seconds. That doesn't mean that Joey Bosa is not going to win the first attempt. It just means he has to wait longer before he can attempt.
Okay. So that would explain why whenever I going to be just aggressive, and this is before the patch, obviously, when you do the fake hike and they wouldn't jump. So before, but now that y'all fixed that, it's not that big of a deal. But when I had secure protectors, Joey Bosa and Khalil Mack would both just like run by him, and I was like, what's going on? Because like I said, it explains why. It's just because it was just I had a little bit more time than I normally would if I didn't have them, but it still wasn't enough.
Yeah, time in the pocket is really difficult to tune, and I spend a lot of time on that every single year. Because you know, you're looking at the NFL numbers and you see what that is. And then you're looking at feedback from the players in multiple groups. Simulation guys generally want less time. Competitive guys generally want more time. And the NFL time, the realistic time, is lower than both. It's really difficult balancing those three things. But I think we got a lot closer to the right area this year because the feedback I get is on both sides. And generally, you know you're off the target if you're getting it all on one side. Like, oh, there's way too much time or there's not enough time. But when you're hearing both sides, you know you're pretty close to the target.
Yeah. So Madden moves at a slower pace than the real NFL, correct? Like, wide receivers run their routes slower in Madden. Is that correct?
No. Faster.
So wide receivers get down the field faster in Madden than they do in the real NFL?
Yeah.
Huh. Okay. That's interesting. I thought it was the other way around.
I mean, it makes sense, though, because I mean, if you have, like, 15 seconds on the clock, if you just throw, like, 3 out routes, you can get in field goal range. Whereas in real life, I don't think you can do that.
Yeah, because, like, they'll get jumped or something. Well, I mean, like, in the – I mean, this is just a Madden thing. You just got to play a cloud flat there. Yeah.
Well, I'm just saying, like, I'm saying if you're just trying to get out of field to get in field goal range from the 20, you could probably get there running out routes and have enough time to kick the field goal.
Oh, I got you.
So the big difference is during an NFL game – NFL players are rarely moving at top speed, very rarely, especially during route running. Our players are almost always moving at top speed.
What about the acceleration stat? Don't they have to accelerate up to their top speed?
Yes, the acceleration rating determines the amount of time it takes them to get to their top speed. But they have very little, very limited about when to throttle down. So once I get to top speed, when should I start to slow down?
So they can stop quicker. And shift.
Right, and you're talking from a realistic standpoint. You know, a guy running a route, he's going to set up his dig route. He's not going to run full speed on the first leg of that route. He's going to go run at a speed that's he has enough control that he can stick it at the top of his route to try to get open, and then he's going to burst out of that cut. And then if he's, you know, if it's in zone coverage, if he's about to run into a zone, he's going to throttle down and slow down. Our players, in most cases, when they're moving at full speed, until they get tired, they're going to keep moving at full speed.
So these guys that's interesting. I didn't I never actually thought about that. So these guys that take hits at full speed here in Madden, is that a punishment because they can barely hang on to the ball? Like, are they just moving too fast and the momentum takes the ball out of their hands? Or why can't wide receivers hang on to the ball?
Every case of a ball being dropped by a receiver is different. So some are, you know, just purely physics impact. A guy ran into him with enough impact that the ball just came out. In some cases, it's a knockout. In some cases, it's a catch rating. Any number of things.
Okay. Interesting. So, and then talking about running through zones and slowing down, is that something you guys are working on? Slowing them down and getting them through zones to get them more like AI to get them open better on the routes?
Not at the moment. I mean, it's something we get requests from the community on that every year. Like, hey, I want my receiver to sit down in the zone. Again, the difficult part about designing that is not only getting all the AI correct, but how do I know when you want him to stop and when you don't want him to stop? Worst nightmare for a designer is, oh, I made this cool AI, so your receivers are going to recognize zones and sit down. And then the first time you play it, you're like, wait, I didn't know he was going to sit down, or I didn't want him to sit down. I want him to keep running, and he stopped. I'm like, oh, okay, well, we'll just have him keep running. And then you're like, no, wait, I want him to sit down. And so Then you start to look at, okay, well, how do I build a mechanic for this? And I want to give the player the control to tell his receiver when to slow down and when not to slow down. And then it snowballs into, well, I'm looking at so many things while I'm back there trying to find my open receiver, and I only have 3 to 4 seconds. I don't have time to figure out when I want my receiver to slow down and stop. So it grows pretty quickly, but it is something that we hear quite often.
Yeah, because I see how after Madden 16, option routes and like the run and shoot got broke. Like they don't react properly to the zones anymore. So I can see why that'd be very difficult to code. So I understand that. Texas, any thoughts?
No thoughts on that. Okay. It's kind of cool though that it's with the zones and people want this mechanic. I mean, just use playmaker because that's what that helps. That's much better than just sitting.
Yeah. Oh, we just hit time for you, Clint. You got to go?
I could take two or three more questions. You got some real important ones.
Yeah, let me do a quick let's do a rapid fire zone. Texas, get a quick question ready. I got
rapid
three.
Fire.
I got three here for you, quick, and I got a couple more after that. All right, are thresholds in connected franchise mode / simulation mode?
In some cases, we have animation thresholds like the ball carrier special moves.
Yep. Rex talked
that unlock new animations. So yeah, in some cases we do.
But like zone threshold, is that in simulation?
No.
What about arcade?
No.
Okay. What's the passing short, medium, and long thresholds?
All right. So the short accuracy rating, it's 0 to 20. Medium's 20 to 40, and then 40 plus is deep, but that's from the point of the throw, not the line of scrimmage.
No, like by thresholds, I mean like quarterback accuracy, no, like 91 on the number out of 100.
You know I can't give that out.
Oh, no, I don't. I didn't know that. Okay. Does squads, mutt, draft champions, or salary cap have different tuners applied to them?
No, the game styles do.
Okay. All right. Oh, did I ask that? Shoot. Would Madden ever put out a roadmap for users like other games such as Fortnite has?
I could definitely see us doing that at some point in the future.
Okay. Texas, any quick ones?
Do you think Playmaker's overpowered?
I don't know. So this is an interesting topic. I'm glad you guys brought it up. Do you guys think it's overpowered?
The chemistry, yes.
Not this year with zones being as OP as it is.
So you're split.
I'm split. My entire offense is playmakers, so I'm kind of embracing it.
Can I ask you another question?
Hmm?
Do you think that when you have the ability to playmaker effectively, that it creates a skill gap between you and your opponent?
Yes.
No. So like maybe, but it's all the same playmaker. It's all drag your guy, playmaker him up for the scheme. Like it's the same reason you guys took out the actual playmaker in 16 and you nerfed it for 17. It's because it's overused and overpowered.
Mm-hmm. And I don't disagree with that, but I would say if you go down a few levels, I'm sure you guys are at the top of the Madden gaming board, being the experienced Madden players that you are. A lot of folks don't use it because it's too hard.
Yes. But we're worried about like the high end meta mostly, like going down the gaming board where people are running spread sets and they're running like random plays from Ask Madden. That's not really like, it is what it is. But like this is for like the people that have to deal with the high end cheese that I think I'm most concerned with.
Yeah, and I understand that we make, like I said before, we make a game for a number of people, not just the high end players. Everyone has to have fun with the game. But I think the right answer is not necessarily nerfing the mechanic. What it is providing the defense the tools to cover it appropriately.
That's a fair point. I'm fine with the mechanic. I just think the ability in Mutt is overpowered.
Okay.
Yeah. So is there an equalizer in the game?
No.
Is there a dynamic difficulty adjustment in the game?
No.
Okay. Texas, any other short questions?
Yep. Since we're talking about Playmaker and all this stuff, what would you want to see, at least in Mutt, certain ratings give an ability? So, like, let's say if you have 95 tackle,
you get secure tackle automatically, because it's kind of weird that secure tackler at 75 tackle on a cornerback works more effectively than a guy with 95 tackle without it.
I don't know. I'm going to leave those mutt questions to the mutt guys. I appreciate the question and the sentiment, though.
Okay.
Gotcha.
Yeah, let me see if I got any other like burning ones that are really good. I got to cut. Like, why are we not able to hot route certain routes like post routes or slant outs anymore? Is it just for gameplay balance reasons?
Yeah, mostly.
Okay.
There is still an argument to be made about realism. We still make an NFL football game, and a lot of those routes aren't valid hot routes as well.
Oh, gotcha. Hey, does it hurt you personally seeing linemen taking every play off against 3-3-5 odd?
If that were true, yes, it would.
Hey, do you think? Okay, so was nano detection a good feature added to Madden?
Yes.
Has there ever been talk about it going away?
There's always light discussion about it, but nothing actionable yet.
Okay. All right. That's it for my...
This is probably for the competitive players, to be honest.
Actually, competitive players are split completely down the middle. Half like it, half don't like it. But the best thing about it is it's gotten to the point where it's really not been a focus like it was when it first was implemented, and that's the right place for it. Eventually, if you don't even know it's there, then that's going to be a really, really good time.
Oh, yeah. Agreed. That way it feels, because people hate it when they get stuck going through, especially they're going to use a rush. People have said they're getting stuck.
Yeah, but the best thing about it from a dev standpoint, again, I'm not sure that you guys care about this as much as players, but from a dev standpoint, every time that we see it happen, it gives us a clue as to something else went wrong there that we can adjust and make better. And so over time, you're going to see it happen less and less and less and less.
That's
and
cool.
It will be there literally just for the things that it needs to take care of.
I could totally see every time it triggers, there's like a red light that goes off on Rex's desk, and he's like, "Oh my god, take a look at this." I'm guessing that's happening, right?
Now, usually when that happens, that red light, it's actually a button, and when he hits the button, a red light buzzes at my desk.
That's fun. All right, I think. Well, actually, one more. Why do you think people hate animations in Madden, like two-man catch animations, ball carrier moves, and tackling animations?
I'm trying to figure that out. My opinion is it's because they think that the game has decided something before it's actually happening, which isn't the case. It just comes down to lack of control. They want to feel like they're in control of their character from whistle to whistle, and we get that. And this topic right here is something that we discuss on a daily basis. The debate is visual quality versus control, and what you got to do is find a really good balance between the two.
That makes I think I've said that before, like, because the game actually looks better when the animations happen. It looks prettier with that Odell Beckham catch. It looks a little bit more like the NFL when the stuff is pre-scripted to look like the NFL versus like the old Maddens where people say they throwback Madden where it was just user skill. There's no animations where you just got there and you made the play and so on and so forth. So I can see that being a trade-off, like you say. And would it be possible to do like a throwback animationless Madden 18 game mode?
A throwback animation list.
Throwback game, so, 16-17 modes.
Yeah, no, like throw it back to like Madden 10, but with like Madden 18 or Madden 19 game mode, but like just every single animation, there's like no more animations in the game. Would that even be possible?
Yes. This is the one I told you about that I was going to correct you. So you literally would not be able to play the game with no animations in it. Everything in the game is an animation.
Well, like, I'm not talking to like cartoon animations. I'm talking like, I don't know how to describe
it properly. I think what you mean is you don't want any animations that involve more than one player.
I think that makes more sense than what I was trying. Yeah, I think you read my mind. Get out of my head.
Yeah, I think that's what you're saying. Again, it's like the same thing you asked about before with the RNG. What it is identifying the best opportunities to provide not only agency through player control in the game, but also mechanics so that you can have that. You can have that influence on the outcome that mm-hmm. you desire, while we can still make the game look really good. And that's where we're at as a team right now. That's where gaming is going, not only for Madden, but for everyone. It's how do we make the player know that he's in control the whole time and still make the game pay it off visually?
That's awesome. Texas, any last questions for Clint?
I got to ask this just because this has been our theme for the past like 3 weeks. Do you know when they're going to update Draft Champions? You have any thought on these guys going to update Draft Champions? It's been almost 3 months.
All I can say is the feedback is being heard loudly and clearly on the Mutt side. Yeah.
All right.
Thank you, Clint, so much for hanging out. And sorry for keeping you 10 extra minutes. We really appreciate your knowledge and you coming on the pod.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm honored and feel blessed to be on your 100th episode. I do hope that it's helpful. I really just, you know, want to make everyone know that we're all one Madden community and know that we're here to provide a great experience to all of our players. So hopefully this was helpful to you guys and your listeners. And if you need any follow-up questions, don't hesitate to reach out.
Yeah, definitely. We'll put your Twitter account down in the description. So everybody go ahead, give him a follow. Clint, really appreciate it. Take care, my man.
All right. Thank you.